Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and happy to engage everyone who will join us tonight directly or even indirectly, and even those who will listen after the show has aired. 657-383-0944 is the number to join us in the live studio now. Whether you're listening to us from Facebook's live stream or you are listening from the blogtalkradio.com/BFC Institute platform. Either way, that is the number to call, 657-383-0944. For the next hour and 55 minutes or so, we'll engage you, okay, and we welcome your meaningful conversation to the dialogue. More than ever before, parents and even authority figures such as school teachers and law enforcement officials find themselves addressing expressions of disrespect for the inherent authority they have. Many seem to be surprised and bewildered by its prevalence all around our nation. Some say it's a natural thing, it's to be expected. Others say it's a social disease. While most are simply frustrated and ready to give up, particularly young folk, that's where they place the blame. Join me tonight as we discuss this matter and we look at the relationship between an individual's success in life and learning and them learning to have respect for authority. Our topic, how respect for authority results in success. That's what we're going to talk about tonight on this Thursday, June 3rd, 2021. Wow. 6 months already. How respect for authority results in success. You join us here. We'll be happy to entertain you. Again, the number 657-383-0944. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, 21st verse reads like this. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Powerful but short texts. Fathers, you see who he admonished, the writer there in the text? Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. They be discouraged. All right. Talk about how respect for authority results in success. Let's look at the impact that a family has on an individual's character, growth, and development. Okay? I want you to consider for a second that by order of the creator of the universe, the family unit itself is the first and most influential unit to humanity. That's all over the world. That's all over the world. It serves as the viewport for the very values, the lessons of character growth, building, self-development that a child receives within the family context. I hear you thinking already, everybody don't have it. That's unfortunate. But guess what we can do today on this June 3rd? Can set a precedent. Moving forward. The other night, we talked about how to bring about proactive social change. I'm teaching tonight. And what I'm offering you is information about how if you didn't have it, you can break that cycle. All right? Now, two specific figures within the family context that are important. And that's the boy's father, who is always the male progenitor, and the mother, who's the female progenitor. What do you mean by progenitor, Dr. Lee? That's simply the one biologically responsible for offering the sperm and the egg to make the baby. I couldn't get no claims in that. So you're always going to be that, the progenitor, whether you properly assume the role as a mother or father or not. This factors into the anger and the frustration that many young people who lack what I'm sharing with you tonight have. It helps us understand the nature of the problem, thus the direction towards solving. In an ideal situation, children receive this structure. They have care and guidance all the way from birth to responsible adulthood. I'll emphasize that in an ideal situation, all right, recognizing that in reality, in 2021, on this June 3rd, unfortunately, that has not become the norm for too many. When we talk about the force of authority, let's look at it this way. The natural influence in the life of a child. What you mean by natural? I'm talking about those people who are responsible for bringing it here, the father and the mother. First and foremost, beyond anything else, in the schoolhouse, on the street, in the library, or anywhere else, they are the primary voices of authority and influence in their children's lives. Many of them are not aware of how to do that. Many strive to be the best voice that they can. And sometimes they don't get it all the way right. We're not here to judge them. It's the reality, however. Now, although and all throughout the word, the Holy Writ, there are commands specifically geared toward parents that they be steadfast and that they be accountable for training their children and guiding them in a productive direction. However, here we are in this present moment and day and time, and what has happened is what was once considered to be abnormal and unusual behavior has become the norm. In other words, that was a time when we thought that when a man and a woman got together and they had children, automatically they're going to form a family and raise their children a certain way with certain values. Oh, no. We can do whatever we want to. We can make babies and It's optional whether or not you commit yourself in the context of marriage, or whether or not you are focused about teaching them certain things, and whether or not you allow them to discover their own path. That's what has happened today in 2021. And I'm explaining to you that as we talk about having, gaining respect for authority, there's a correlation to that in one's success or the lack thereof. Okay? What we have to look at is that this natural voice of authority can be severely diminished under the right circumstance. And that's where we allow outside forces and influences to take over the voice of authority for parents. What's those voices, Doctor? We're talking about this 24-hour cycle of exposure to ideas through the media, through internet, and through phone, and podcasts, very similar to this one, right? Many ideas are being flooded in the brains of young folk. Bless their hearts, they don't know how to decipher right from wrong oftentimes, but because it's available to them, they take it. When they get caught up, it's a little too late. I read a recent article about some young children who wanted to go somewhere, and they essentially took their parents' car without permission. In another story, some children stole weapons and turned them on police. Very, very sad thing. There's only one outcome for that. The question is big, where was the voice of authority for them? Where was their parents? Now, I'm not going to try to answer that right now. Perhaps we can get into that dialogue. I want to focus, though, on a behavioral psychologist, developmental psychologist, Eric Erickson. He had an interesting concept where he purported that there are 8 stages in the psychosocial development of humans. Okay? And he goes on to suggest that the first 5 stages consist from birth to age 18. And the last three, expand throughout one's adulthood. What Erickson says is that there is room for growth all the way through one's life. Watch this. No matter how old you get, there's an opportunity. There's a learning situation. There's an opportunity for growth. This is something that even chronologically grown people don't understand. Talk about me first. You should always keep yourself in a position where you recognize that somebody can teach you something you hadn't seen or that you don't know before. And that's okay. That's okay. It's what Erickson suggests. I tend to agree with him. Places a great deal of emphasis, though, on the adolescent period, teenage, preteen, pubescent period, because he says that this stage is critical to developing one's identity. And if you look around and you see all the incidents and issues that are going on, not in the last year, last week, for the last 20-some years or better, what we can see is that there are a lot of issues and challenges for people in their teens, in their early 20s. Sadly, many of them don't make it through their 20s. What he's saying is that what happens is in each of these 8 stages, there is some form of crisis, some form of challenge. And when there is a positive voice of authority that provides love, instruction, security, and guidance, in each of these stages where the crisis comes, where the challenge comes, when the person overcomes them, particularly the earlier stages, the first 5, when they're able to overcome them, they find confidence. Guess what voice of authority is? It is the structure and the discipline and the care that's given in that family. Yes, I am pointing you to the ideal family structure as the first base of authority in a young person's life. We can get that right. They can be successful, any of our children can be successful. Doesn't matter where they come from. Doesn't matter what their income level is. Doesn't matter what the educational level of their parents are. With these values, with this focus and this discipline, they can be successful. Now, interestingly enough, what Erickson says is that of the eight stages, perhaps the most pivotal and the most determining stage is the first stage, from infancy or birth. Huh? He says that, I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit. You can look Erickson up yourself and look at his eight stages of psychosocial development. But what he suggests, my read is, that at this point, when whoever it is picks that baby up that is crying, and they rock them, they soothe them, they feed them, they look them in the eyes, they kiss them, change their diaper. Are y'all walking with me? That child learns to trust them. And guess what? Catch this. It doesn't necessarily have to be the progenitor I made reference to, the male or female progenitor that does that. Whoever it is that assumes that role, that child develops trust in them. And it expands beyond in their growth and development. Erickson calls this trust versus mistrust. Because to the contrary, in the absence of this, then there is a distrust. The Greek myth suggests that Rome was named after one of two children who were caught in the wars of Greece, where their parents were killed, you understand, in the Greco War. And that when the parents died, these two children, Romus and Remus, were left alone. But a pack of wolves found Romus and Remus, and they treated them just like infants, babies, their babies, and they cared for them, and they showed them how to act like and how to run like and be in the pack like a wolf. And Romans and Remus, even though they were human, they took on these qualities. And the power of the Roman Empire, according to the myth, was modeled after Romans. Interesting story. You know, you can make with that what you want to. Here's my point. Wherever this trust, wherever this care comes from, that's what young people learn to deal with. I want to emphasize again that it's the power through the family where virtue, values, where patterns, where consistency or the lack thereof, that's where it comes from. If you show me a child that is out of order in any way, that is a danger to himself or a danger to others, I'll show you a child that lacks proper voice of authority in their life. Which is why we're asking the question and answering it. How respect, or we're making the statement, how respect for authority results in success. See, beloved, the first police, the first judge, the first jury is at home. If you don't get it in the physical environment we call the home, guess what? You'll learn it along the way. You'll learn it along. That's what we ought to caution ourselves for. Be cognizant of that. You know, I hear people always looking to blame other people. So I understand why in 2021, and I'm gonna tell you, there are some people who profited from this mentality, and they've done things to create a feeling that there's hope for this type of trust, and that you should disrespect and discredit any form of authority. Well, where does that leave a child but making themselves in a danger? It's synonymous to having a playground with no supervision on it. You got a bunch of children that are impulsive, that are energetic, running and playing and doing what they want to with no supervision. That's a very dangerous precedent. No matter how you feel, it's interesting to me that there are many people who I hear, and I'm not just talking about babies, man. I'm talking about chronologically grown people, folks that's been around here for decades. Many of them have made missteps in their lives, and now they're encouraging young folks to repeat their missteps. You would think they would try to tell them otherwise. And they do this in the guise of Afrocentric thought. That never ceased to amaze me. In other words, that's what it means to be Afrocentric, to be pan-Africanistic, to be black, is to be out of control, not coherent, structure and order, and not respectful for authority. Yes, I understand that there are many things that were lost in the transatlantic slave trade historically. But guess where you live on June 3rd, 2021, if you're in the United States of America, in any one of these areas? That's where you are. Unless you're able to pack up, get up, and go somewhere else, you need to make your bed liable, a place that you can lay down and get some rest in. Why would you tear up your bed? Man, it's been like 3 years old. There appeared to be a tremendous amount of distrust when it comes to believing in a parent. I preached a sermon once and talked about how difficult it is for a young child who has not had the proper voice of authority in their life, particularly from the father, and modeling for them, grown and absent. And we suggest to them in Christian thought that they should accept Jesus Christ and his father and just believe it, when they can't even believe in the idea of their own father, the progenitor that got up here. They don't know what that looked like. Can you see how difficult it is to follow that faith? Oh, no, I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't, but I'm telling you where we have to begin our instruction. Lovingly, caringly, we have to address that issue. Hence, they tend not to learn to respect themselves or anyone else that they see around. Are you with me? How respect for authority results in success. They can't respect their parents or their caregivers, oftentimes their grandparents, aunts and aunties, because they're unanswered questions. Where are my people that brought me here? Where are the people that supposed to be my mom and my dad? My daddy and my mom. Why aren't they here? Sometimes death is called me here. Too often in urban America, incarceration is a factor. Yes. The Council of State Legislators some years ago began studies and efforts to try to make it easier for fathers who were charged with child support and things of that nature to be able to have more contact with their children along the lines of them being responsible. I used to work for an organization called the Institute for Responsible Fatherhood. That was our effort, to try to build those relationships. And now there's little respect for the position of the preacher, because the preacher, by extension, served as a form of a spiritual father. But unfortunately, not that there's anything wrong with spirituality or the role and position, but there are so many hucksters, folks who misrepresent it, that people have lost confidence and trust even in that voice of authority. Unfortunately, elected officials or professional politicians and other people in business industries have broke down that trust. And this is where we are today. This is where we are. This is why we have on the street people who are looking for a reason to say, I ain't going to listen. I'm going to do whatever I feel like doing when I feel like. That's why we have that, beloved. Now, again, what I have a problem with is old, great, grown rascals who messed up already, who know better. See, there are some people who profit from that. As long as they're out there running the streets, acting like goons, parents, somebody's making money in the criminal justice system, in the social service industry, huh? And all the place that provides resources and materials for those places that they operate, all the way to construction of buildings and engineers or what have you. There's money to be made as long as folks are out of order when the breakdown in their family is there. That's the cold reality. That's the cold reality. I want to, before I open up the phone lines, I want you to hear what Whitney Winston said. And you might recognize, I believe they did back in 1969. Said, I'm going to color him father. Listen to him just for a second. Listen to the Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Baffley. 657-383 is the number to call.
I'm a man in my house, so big and strong. He goes to work each day, stays the whole day long. He comes home each night, looking tired and weak. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown away from my house. When he says to me, how's my child? I put it out there, steady hard all day. Try very hard to understand the gold.
Now that was power. That was power. You listen to Talk Straight. It's your host, Reverend Doctor. 657-383-0944. What these brothers were saying is 51 years ago. What they're saying is that because a child saw in front of him the example of who he can be, my God, he had the model of his success. And he, in his mind, decided how, if you put crayons, you know, coloring book, paper in front of a child, you'll be amazed at the thing that the imagination will create. This baby said, I'll color him father. I think I'm going to color the man love. Come on, join me here, 657-383-0944. You got a first call on from St. Louis. Welcome, sir, to the conversation. How respect for authorities results in success. First to come in.
Power, respect for authority.
Yes, sir.
That's a good thing.
Say that again.
Uh-huh. I say that's a good thing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And anyone that tells you different is lying to you, and they don't have your best interest at heart, especially the younger you are. The younger you are. Because you mad and you disappointed, you think that you should tear down the walls and the structure for authority. Guess what? One day you're going to grow up. And if you haven't learned to be managed and controlled by some whip or by somebody else, you won't even know how to control or manage yourself. Help me, Holy Ghost. What do you say about that, Samuel?
Well, I think you have pretty appreciative point there, Mr. Docker.
Okay. Okay.
Where's the rest of your crew?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they're coming. I don't know. I'm here.
You guys start having respect to show up on time and not just walk in when they get ready.
In the classroom, huh? Fall in class when you get ready. Class started at what? 7 o'clock. That's all.
Yeah.
We try to set the
example, but it just don't tune in home, does it?
I get you. Now, but I can see that there are individuals who are listening right now, and if I were not here, as they have done in the past, they would call me and ask, hey, what happened? All right, so we're here. And we've been trying to make sure we do that as much as we can. So here's the point. And I'll just keep on going back. I think about Erickson that described these various stages of psychosocial development. And what's interesting to me is in his research, he identifies crisis at various points in people's lives as determining factors. And, of course, he lists the different stages there. I started with trust versus distrust. I was talking to some young men some time ago, and this became very clear to me why it is many of them have I won't say no respect for fathers or fatherhood, but at least they have doubts about it. That's why I was doing this here. They have doubts about it, and they question whether or not one day they want to be a father, because they know what they missed, you know? And the fear is, I don't want to repeat what happened to me. If there's no one there to teach them that, to model that, what happens to them? Well, that's the question. That becomes the question. Pastor Waller, we're talking from the topic, how respect for authority results in success. Some people don't believe that. What say you, Pastor Waller?
So you're talking about the respect for authority?
Yes, sir.
And when you say authority, you're talking about, let me know exactly who the authority is, and so I can kind of get a feel of, are you talking about family? Are you talking about the law? Or, you know, just like to
so,
kind of get a...
And I covered that in the monologue. And just okay. to briefly review, I began by identifying the two natural voices of authority in a child's life. And Tam, they come in here as a bouncing, naked baby. And that's the progenitor, their male progenitor and the female progenitor. Now, I make that distinction, because just because you help bring a child, it don't make you a father or a mother. I know I just said something like that. I know. In fact, there are some young people who have tremendous disdain for their progenitors. You understand? We find this often the case with the male progenitor in the absence of fathers in children's lives. But I said that the beginning of authority starts at home within the family context, or the lack thereof. And the older you get without getting this example and this instruction, the more likely it is you become vulnerable to the thoughts and the notion that I don't have to respect nothing or nobody. That extends, Pastor Waller, to teachers and other in positions of authority in society, the church, social workers, and everybody else. You understand what I'm saying now?
Yeah, I got you.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so starting at home, when a family bringing up a child from birth, authority should be respected.
Absolutely.
It's like a child being trained should respect the parent. That's basically what it says. But then you got the law when you step out in the world after you grow up, and you want to be able to respect the law. The church, there's a lot of areas, you know, the elderly, you want to respect, there's so many areas to cover there. But when you're talking about respecting authority and who's in authority, sometimes, you know, is it a person that's 25 years of age that's got the authority over a person that's 55?
Okay, that's interesting.
Because they work in a certain place, and they have a position, have a law enforcement agent or some other area, and the person is much older. Give you a good example for me being on the basketball court. I shouldn't be on the basketball court if a 25-year-old kid is there. They'll think, what you doing on this court? You know, they see the grade and say, hey, you don't belong here. Is that respecting authority, or am I out of pocket?
Okay. Great. I like that. I like where you frame that. Watch this. That's a great point. You were talking about someone that, you know, the minimum age to become a police officer. Let's use that as an example. Or a corrections officer, right, in a prison system. 21. It's 21. But guess what? You can go and pull a...
I got my license.
Hold on, Pastor. Listen to this right here. I got someone listening to me, one of my...
A correctional officer? No, you can be at least 18 to be a correctional officer. I used to work in prison.
Did she say you be one at 18?
You used to work... You used to work at the prison at 18? Is that right?
I used to work at the Tennessee Women's Prison.
She used to work at Tennessee, talking a lot.
All right. Let's go with that. 18. 18. And so if you worked at the Tennessee Women's Prison, then you were supervising individuals that were probably twice your age or older. Is that correct, young lady?
They were either my age, twice my age, or close to my age.
Yeah, absolutely. Stay with me. Was it you that was the source of authority or the Tennessee Department of Correction? And you had to go down to Tullahoma to their training, didn't you, in order for you to be certified?
No, you do their training here. Tennessee Department of Corrections, you can do it in the prison.
Well, guess what? Some years ago, it's been over 20 years ago now, I used to be a correction officer. And then we were mandated to go down to Tullahoma, Tennessee, to the Tennessee Correction. Maybe they changed it. I don't know. I'm not sure when you worked there. But I can tell you from experience that was the case. And maybe they changed the age. Now, either way, my point is that it was not you, but it was the authority of the state that you had to supervise those individuals. Did they tell you something different? Maybe they changed it. I don't know. Was that your understanding?
Yes, some of the rules that you're explaining are still the same.
I just want to make sure we're on the same sheet of music here. But to Pastor Wallace's point, I use the Department of Correction. Okay. There are people who become law enforcement officials. Sheriff becomes sheriff, deputies. They become police officers. They become teachers. They become probation officers. And there's a minimum age requirement. Some of them have educational requirements. Either way, it is not that makes them their age or their education, but it's the fact that they're commissioned by someone to represent the authority of what? The government that puts them there. My whole point, I appreciate you joining us, and Pastor Wallace and the young lady. My whole point, and St. Louis, my whole point is this, that when an individual learns to, sometimes you don't like what you see, or you don't necessarily agree with it, but you learn to respect it. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You learn to respect it. There may be a time that you'll be in a position to where you can change some things. I've been telling folks all the time, if you find an unjust law, by respecting it, you position yourself to stay around and not to become a victim of that law, but become someone who is in a position to change it through the right process. Does that make sense to you? And let me be quiet and let me hear from you. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Talk Straight, and I'm sure you heard us. Our topic is how respect for authority results in success. What do you think about that? You sound like a pretty young lady. Pretty young lady, too. I mean, my God. You understand what I'm saying? Go ahead. Let me be quiet. You there, man?
What did you just say?
So Pastor Matthew wanted to make sure that she have a chance to have a say. And you're talking about respecting the authority and by her being young.
Okay. You can respect the authority, but authority don't get respect unless they're giving it back to you. That's kind of how I feel with the situation, because working in these prisons, you have some COs that are rude.
You
have some COs that don't respect you but want you to respect them. That's not how it goes. You have to give respect to get respect.
I see. I noticed you, and I think that's an ideal situation, ma'am. I think that's ideal. However, if the COs, you said COs, and when you say COs, she's talking about correction officers. The correction officer, if you don't follow the correction officer's directives, what can happen? You've worked in that environment. What can happen to you if you don't follow the directives?
Okay, so are you asking me as if I'm a prisoner inside of the correction officer, or if I am a peer under a correction officer?
No, I'm talking about you being an inmate that is
they'll write you up, or they'll send you to SEG. They'll write you up or send you to SEG. Those are your choices.
SEG is a segregated unit, right, where you're by yourself. Is that right? That's a form of punishment, right?
You're not by yourself.
Right?
You're just locked down for 24 hours.
Who's there with you while you're there for 24 hours? Can you be there with your friends?
You may have another inmate in there with you.
Okay. But you're not in general population, right? So you can't do what everyone else is doing. Is that right? Okay, so that's a form of punishment, right? And watch this. An 18-year-old can do the paperwork to get you in say for a segregated unit, pull away from the normal behavior of everyone else. And it can, depending on the circumstances, they can, your write-up, continued write-up can add to more time being there or other punishment. You follow what I'm saying?
So you're so if they write you up, so honestly, me working inside of one recently, just recently working inside the Deborah K. Johnson Rehabilitation Center for Women, me working inside of it, they give you chance after chance and put your time on the shelf. But once they tired of you, the time that they put on top of the shelf is the time you're going to do plus the time that you just earned.
Yes, ma'am. And that's my point. And my point is that an 18-year-old can trigger that for you. And it's not about them being 18 years old or 21 years old or 31 years old. It's about the authority that has been invested in them by the state of Tennessee. That's the point. And here's the thing. You said it right. There are some people in those positions of authority who come in there with attitudes, who are nasty, who are rude. Is that right, ma'am?
She had to walk away. She had to walk away for a second, but that is so true. I'm thinking that was good for her to bring that up, because that actually happened, and she never actually been on the line to hear our conversations about what's really been going on when it comes down to authority. Just so happens she was talking to me, and I had to call in, and she happened to hear what we was talking about.
No problem.
And she's been a correction officer, so that tells you that she even went there to let it be known that sometimes they don't even give you no respect at all. And, man, that's pretty deep. Coming from someone that worked there, I would have thought she would say, well, yes, the inmates are always out of line. But she said that correctional officers sometimes, they don't give you the utmost respect that apparently that person must qualify for, it sounds like. And I don't know if that's for sure, but she'll step back to the line in just a minute. But
okay,
she had to step off
back
for a second. That's pretty interesting, though.
Welcome her back in when she comes back. But we got St. Louis on right now and continue the dialogue. Here's the thing. We're just talking about one example of authority here. And I want to emphasize the fact that what is that individual authority? They would not be there but for the government, the Tennessee Department of Corrections, giving them that authority. Now, if they use it right and they use it wrong, they got it from the state. And who is it that the state gets its funding from? Who is it that the state gets its directors from? From the legislature, which represents the will of the people of Tennessee, the entire state of Tennessee. You understand what I'm saying? My point is when you learn to respect, it doesn't necessarily mean that you always agree with or like, but you respect the basis of authority. You know, my dad used to whoop me, and you say all the time, St. Louis, I'm whooping you because I love you. And guess what I say under my breath to myself, St. Louis? Well, man, you know, God hate me, but because I'm tired of you whooping me. But I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did. You understand what I'm saying? Because what I learned is, this is a lesson I learned, gentlemen. As bad as I thought I was when it came to my daddy, that good whooping, that good butt whooping early on planted a seed of thought for me. Negro, don't ever try it. You step wrong, I'm going to tell you all. You understand what I'm saying? That was a message for me. Some people don't have that. And they feel that as though they're invincible and nobody can tell them anything. That's the problem. Go ahead, Brad.
Well, that authority starts at home.
That's what
respect
I think.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and see, it's just like anything else. There's always a base, a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't encompass and master the starting point, then the end is going to be disastrous. That's in anything, like putting up a house, a tree that you plant. It has to be supported so that it grows straight. And the same thing with a child. A child has to be learned to respect authority. The old cliche of don't touch the stove because it'll burn. Well, there's two ways to learn it. Verbally? Or touch it and burn it yourself.
And burn. Get burned. Get burned. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. You know, if we could use sports as an illustration, Pastor Wallace, suppose a player on a team decided that they weren't going to follow the coach's rules or the coach's directives. How long would they stay on that team? How long could that team have chemistry, Pastor, if the team player decided that they weren't going to do what they were told to do?
You're talking about the chemistry together with the team? How long was that?
If you are on a, let's use baseball team, and you have a coach that dictates the plays and how the team will play together, but one player decides that they don't want to respect the authority of the coach, they're going to do what they want to when they get ready. How long will they stay on that team? Or how long will that team suffer as a result of their individual efforts? You understand my question?
Yeah, coach, what kind of coach they got? If you got a coach like I got, coach I have, man, I mean, you won't be that long if you got a coach like I have. But then
okay.
I've seen some that happens like that, and the coach follow what they say. You know, but I know the coach that I came up under, when I was growing up, I give him props. You know, I talked about him in my book. You know, I wanted to win for him, so I respect him to
right.
the highest. But that was me. But I've also played against some people that they didn't even follow what the coach would say. I mean, I did. I've seen that happen. But in my case, again, I put emphasis on it. I wanted to win for him. I followed whatever he said. And the only way I would do my own thing is that what he had put together, it didn't, you know, he gave me room to do it. You know, the more wild that I would throw, that you never know what I'm going to do. He would allow that if you get in a trap. You see what I'm saying? Seriously, he would. Because I was even afraid to do some of that, you know, but he knew that I could do it, but it was because of his confidence that he had in me, but it wasn't no drawn-up play. He was a guy that would always go according to what he said. I mean, his instructions, his ways, so I always abide in what he would say. But, yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm reminded of my first touchdown, gentlemen. you know, I'm a little freshman in high school and everything. And, man, I got that ball, man. I ran off. But guess what I did not do? I did not follow the play.
What's that?
I did not follow the play.
What?
I did
man.
My own thing. And look.
Man.
Look, Coach Lonnie Williams. He came all the way down to the end zone and that grabbed my helmet, man, and dragged me all 50 yards across the field. Son, you don't want to play no football. You want to do what you want. You can't play on my team. Oh, man, it was so embarrassing that I felt a little bit of a broach.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes, sir.
Now, watch this.
Yes, sir.
And I was like, dang, I thought we were happy because I got the touchdown. But the problem was I did not follow the voice of authority for the coach.
That's right. That's right. It wasn't about the touchdown. It wasn't about the touchdown so much. It was about following the authority, man. Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
And that's why I said if he drew up the wrong play, if it didn't work, that was on him. But I sure followed his order.
Hey, St. Louis, it broke my spirit, man. I didn't want to play for him no more. I didn't want to play for him no more.
Yeah.
I was grudging the rest of the time.
Hey,
Pastor Doctor, now I'm going to say this because I'm appreciative of what you're talking about. Now,
okay, go ahead.
The assistant coach, which is in my book, Ned Kelly, my coach, Coach Watkins, he was the head coach. A guy on my team tried to act like he was gonna quit playing. Man, look here, I seen what he meant to him. I wasn't ready to play. Like, I'm ready to quit. Yes, sir, man. So we had some coaches that would discipline you in a respectable
That's
manner.
Right.
Is what I'm saying.
That's right.
And he didn't harm me or anything, but he made it known that if somebody else think about wanting to quit, this is the possibility of what's going to happen to you as well, so without saying it. So you can tell it was with love, so it wasn't with to harm you. Yeah, man. So it was just not doing your own thing. You don't want to do your own thing when you got the authority, but you need to follow it. So that's basically what you're talking about.
Well, absolutely. And I love my dad, and when he and my mom separated, they never divorced, they separated, and he was living under another roof, I was impacted by it. Even though I can always reach him and call him and what have you, I was impacted by that. And I felt like, shoot, I run these streets. I rule these streets around here in Chicago, man. Tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And we go into school, get into a little tough with somebody in St. Louis. And guess what Mr. Thornhill would do? He was a gym teacher, black man, black, big muscular black dude. He used to work out all the time. When we come in at the gym, he pumping iron. He pumping iron. I'm like, God, no, this is, he's crazy, man. Anyway, we get into a fight. He had two pair of Ever-Ready boxing gloves hanging in his office. He sent somebody, go get them. Go get them. And what he told us is that y'all going to fight right here in front of everybody. Y'all want to fight. The loser going to get whooped twice. I'm like, man, hold up. Talk about pressure, man. Talk about pressure.
Yeah.
I appreciate this day, though, because most of us realize St. Louis. And throwing the ball to you, St. Louis. Most of us realize that we weren't as bad as we thought we were when we were forced. Because a lot of cats get out there and get to do a lot of whooping and what have you. One was scared, another one was glad he was scared. But Thornhill, he called it out, man. The baddest one of y'all whooped the other one and then take this whooping I'm about to get. What do you think about that, St. Louis?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a ball band, St. Louis?
Boy, I would have liked to watch that. Standing back.
Yeah, what's up, man? I'm telling you, dude. Guess what most of us didn't do, St. Louis? We didn't try it in front of Mr. Thornhill. We knew not to try that in front of him because we knew what was going to happen. But, and I don't know that we can get away with that today, St. Louis, in 2021. I don't think we can get away. Those type of things, they work. You understand what I'm saying? You got these groups now that say, you know, parents shouldn't even whoop their children. You shouldn't abuse them. You should not abuse them. Let me say that again. You should not abuse your children. But every now and then, a good little tighten up ain't going to hurt. In fact, it may put a little hair on their chest. What about that, St. Louis?
Well, you got a point there. When you go to correct your child, that's a tradition that you learn how to do the correct way.
Right.
And the challenge that he put out there is it was a challenge. I would like to stood back and watch that.
Oh, man. Now let me say something, St. Louis. That was some cat, some Billy Bad dudes. They were happy to put them gloves on. And guess what? They won the first fight. It was the second one that they lost. And they still keep on doing it, you know. But some folks, there's some bad people. I learned one thing, gentlemen. The really bad people are either locked up or dead. They done took them out of society. Most of the people out there want to be bad. They want to play like they bad. And why these days, I noticed that the idea of going toe-to-toe with somebody just in a fist fight, that's gone now. That seemed to be gone. Young cats, they want to grab a weapon and sneak up on you and sucker punch you because they can't fight. They're scared. I'm not encouraging people to fight or to be violent. I want to make that clear. But it explains the difference there. Again, with the right voice of authority, you're in a better shape to keep young cats on track here. And you won't get in so much stuff. Man. You know what I mean? Then they can read and write. They can do math and become physicists and engineers and everything else when they discipline. When they discipline. And that's really what we need. That's what we need is to get to a point where when we start talking about authority, we understand where it should naturally come from. And I started by explaining that I recognize, unfortunately, this is not there. This is not a standard. What was normal has become abnormal. What was abnormal has been accepted as the norm in 2021. Is there anything we can do about that, Pastor Wall, in your view?
That's why
you're
there.
Hard worker. Yeah. Hold on. excuse me just a second. No, hold on. Just hold that thought. Then talk to the doctor.
Yes, sir.
Okay, what did you just say?
I said in 2021, what was normal has become abnormal. And what was abnormal has become normal. Is there anything we can do to turn that around? That's the question. That's the question, folks. Sound like my
Everything is possible in this life. That's the good part about it. You know, it is possible to turn things around. It's changeable. If it's changeable, it can be turned around. Now, whether it be changed around or not is another thing. But is it possible? Sure, without a doubt. And it goes back to the Word of God. Anything in life that is changeable according to the Word of God is needed. Now, without it, you know, you're going to do your own thing. You know, and that's what's happening. A lot of people have learned to do their own thing, think the way they want to think, feel the way they want to feel, and go about doing things the way they want to do it. I came from that. I understand. Had I not stepped up to the thing that's changeable, because good become bad become good, you know, up become down become up, that is insane because that's incorrect. Up is up, down is down, right is right, wrong is wrong. So how do you discover what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad? The way I did it, Pastor Doctor, I'm going to say this here, and I have to say it this way. I stopped trusting me. I already thought I knew what I was doing. I used to direct my own path, and so all of that was incorrect. I just went for what I knew. And and I like what you're talking about now, because that's the only way I could do some good was to find out if I can trust somebody other than myself. And it worked, man. It just so happened it did work. So trust me did not work, man, and the evidence proved it. So, yes, I believe it's changeable, man. What's abnormal today, you know, it can become normal and vice versa. So let's just say, for instance, I'm going to turn it back over to you after this. Okay, here's a day that I did not make, and I know I didn't. Why am I going to sit up there and pretend like I did? Now, is that normal or is that... I just got to take it upon myself. Some people are not going to acknowledge the one who made this day or even concerned about who made it. I just know I didn't, and I had to get to that point. And so it helped me a lot to know that stop trusting you, Ricky, and, you know, that whatever come, let it come. But don't you dare ever again trust yourself. And I've been practicing it every day because temptation is strong. You know, I can start it any day and all of a sudden trust myself. But I already know something in particular about trusting myself in many years. Because if I trust myself, I know exactly what I'm going to do first. I just believe that. You know, I just really do. I believe if I trust myself for a moment, because it don't take but a moment to change, man, something that's changeable. So all those things that you're talking about, I believe it's changeable, man. I just need to continue to not trust myself, and I think everything will work itself out. Is everybody going to think that way? No. Of course not. You know, people going to trust themselves, man, as we speak. A lot of people are.
I want to speak to a certain dynamic, if I might, like Chris Jones, and that is one where chronologically grown adults take the position that somebody else have to bail them out when they make poor decisions about being educated or position themselves to provide a certain quality of life for themselves. Okay? Now, very much like Eric Erickson's talk about the first stage where a little baby, an infant, is uncertain about the environment around them. If it's too cold, if it's too hot, right? Any slightest thing, too much noise can cause them to jump, twitch, right? So they're looking for someone to provide them that confident safety. Likewise, someone who has not learned certain important lessons about how to be independent, how to be established, how to provide for themselves, and when life challenges come and hit them where they are expected to be responsible, pay your bills on time, Make sure that you don't violate rules and orders and what have you on your street, on your block, or whatever the case may be. It becomes a law uncertain for them, and guess what? They look to politicians then, and they look to the government to bail them out, to pay for certain things and make it easy for them. Now, that's not a way of putting them down, but can you see how when they don't get it, that's the motivation for going wild and striking out and want to make a lot of noise? We're joined by 8112 out of Florida. Can you see that? Can you all see that, how that works, that dynamic works? Good people now, but they're not even aware of what makes them behave and act out like this. Just like a little infant. Start crying, start kicking, because they're looking for something. Chronologically grown adults find themselves in a very similar position. That voice of authority was missing, though. That would have taught them how to manage that uncomfortability, those fears, those concerns.
I'm sure that's pretty different right there too. You know, because you have the poor and you have the rich, you have those that are able to do certain things, and you have those that are struggling and hardly able to be able to sometimes even pay the bills, and so they have to lean on, you know, I would say, people, you know, to help them out. In the community, in the neighborhood, you know, knock on somebody's door and let them know that we don't have no salt. I just thought I was sent over here to knock on your door to, you know, to ask you if you all would, if you will, you know, let us have a little bit of your salt. And what is that? Is that a bad thing or is that a good thing?
No, not necessarily.
You know, and so that's the thing that's going on. Some people have... The OJs put it like this. Some people are having more than enough when you got people starving, people living just for a dollar. So, you know, that's tough. You know what I mean? Tough luck, that's what they say. But what's wrong with saying, okay, I'm ashamed to go over there to knock on the door because I know they're going to put me down if I ask them for some salt. You know, and that happens sometimes. So that means that the person got way more than enough, but they can't wait for somebody to come over there and knock on the door so they can deliver them, put them down, and things like that. But
well, watch this.
That happens.
Stay back. Stay right there, Pat. Stay right there. Let's use Bobby Womack and his very famous song, Harry Hippo. Right?
Yeah.
And what did he say to him? He said, "Sorry, Harry, I'm going to have to put you down. Because what I won't do with you, Harry, I will help you, but I ain't going to lay on the ground with you." I'm paraphrasing somebody.
Yeah.
You understand? Not only Harry, but
it's
you and your girl. Y'all don't want to do nothing for yourself. And you keep coming asking for the same thing over, but you're not taking care of yourself. So I'm going to have to put you down. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If they
can come to that. But some people don't even give you a chance to do that. Some people can't wait for you to knock on the door so they can put you down.
Yes.
Without lifting you up. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And you know, that's a beautiful example. It's just like Jesus out there, you know, doing his thing, and then here goes someone that's down, and they are afraid to ask Jesus because they feel like he's going to, you know, like, let you know, do your own thing. You need to be able to do this. So, you know, it's like, should I not? And it shouldn't be like that. I mean, that's the thing it is. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So I'm looking at the word now and how, you know, where's the benefit at when a person, you know, it's like knocking at the door for help and you're able, you know what I mean, and you got it. And we're coming from the word of God now because, you know, we know that it's a beautiful thing to be able to give. It didn't say one time, twice, three times, or four times. It just said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I would tell you this right here, I'm going to have to turn it back over to you. Man, I would rather for somebody to come and ask me, and I have it, and be able to give it to them versus me going to ask them. Because I tell you one thing, man, it sure don't feel good have to go and ask somebody something knowing that you don't know whether they're going to do it or not. But either you go or you don't. And that's a tough position to be in. I'm telling you. Tough position to be in.
Well,
and
I'll tell
you, a lot of people in that position, man. Sometimes it takes more than one time, you know, to support the person because they don't get it yet. They don't get it. They don't get it. They don't get it. And then you just have the joy of knowing that the word is more blessed to give anyway than to receive. So I'm just going to keep on giving. And,
okay.
And that's just like, you know, I'm able. But if I'm not able now, I can see myself saying, look here, man, now, you're going to put both of us in the hole now. You know, I ain't going to be able to give you nothing now because I done gave out or something like that. But if I got it, man, I'd rather give, man. I was a giver anyway. I came from it. So I guess it don't hit me, you know, it don't hit me like that. In my book, I even talk about, I used to take care of the whole community. So I was like that, you know what I mean? So it really don't hit me like that. I was just glad I did. So now that I'm in the situation and I'm in need now for knocking on somebody's door, so I don't know how they're going to treat me. Hey, Pastor, I don't know how they're going to treat me now.
I do remember when.
So it's just a tough position to be in.
All right. Let me bring 12 in here briefly. 12, welcome. We're talking from the topic, how respect for authority results in success. You've been listening a little bit. Feel free to jump in. Anything you want to say right now, or just feel free to follow up.
I just want to say hello to everyone.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for doing hello.
Hey. 8112, how you doing?
I'm good, Pastor Waller. How are you?
Good. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, Pastor, you made a good point, and that is that people are hesitant to ask for help when they need it, because they don't know what kind of response they're going to get. And as you were saying it, I was thinking about the many people who sometimes we say what they're doing is not right. You know, oftentimes it's turned to what's by law illegal means or activities. But they refuse to beg, and they refuse to go without. So they hustle. It just so happens they hustle is deemed to be illegal. And that's a challenge right there. Is getting them to recognize, do something that is both productive for you and meets the dictates and parameters of civic expectations. What are you trying to say, Constant Luke?
No, that has to be learned, how to seek assistance.
Explain that for us. Tell us what you mean by that. That's an interesting point.
Well, in the process of respecting others, like please and thank you,
A
young person has to learn the proper way to request assistance and things from other people, especially adults. If they have been taught that in the process, then they shouldn't have no problem walking up to somebody and asking, pardon me, could you assist me?
Yeah. But you do recognize that in society, for different reasons, St. Louis, it's become a very cold shoulder environment. Unfortunately, people have been robbed and they've been mugged and what have you. Not necessarily from me, but somebody that looked like me. So they're always on guard. You see what I mean?
And it doesn't have to be a male. I've heard a story of a woman walking into a bar with a very short skirt on, coming up to mid-thigh and asking somebody could they come help her with her car. And, of course, they get robbed.
When they go outside, there's some other people waiting on them, ain't
they? Somebody waiting on them.
Yeah, that's a big hustle. That's a big hustle. You know, I remember three-talk Molly where on the bus, somebody goat you into playing this game with them, and they said, you got to add to the purse. Now, what you don't know is two or three of them are together, and one of the two or three put money on like they're an innocent person want to play, so you can pull your money out. And then when you get off the bus, guess who get off the bus? They get off. They don't have much money you got, And you know what happened next, don't you?
Yeah.
They about snatched that. It makes it difficult, and it breaks down the trust in society. And the whole point that we're making is that really trust begins when a voice of authority teaches you, first introduce you to it. You learn to trust that voice as being honest. I talked about how a lot of people can't trust preachers. Uh-oh. They can't trust preachers. They can't trust politicians. And more we're seeing they can't even trust their own parents. In fact, children are being told, 8112, that you can't speak to your parents, so come talk to an adult in the school. Now, what kind of stuff is that? What kind of stuff is that to tell a child? Have you ever heard that, 12? Have you ever heard that? Well,
no.
People are telling you ain't never heard that? They're telling young folks that you come talk to us if you have any problem because you can't talk to your parents. Now, why would you even plant that thought in their head?
Exactly.
Hey. Yeah, that ain't good. That ain't good.
Some parents will go out and have their utilities turned on in their child's name, child about 7 years old.
Well, that happens.
And then you know what happens from there.
They ruin their credit, sure. Or misuse the Social Security number in some venture or something. And the point here is that we're talking about the balance between the examples of authority for young people. I'm not beating the young people up. I'm simply explaining why it is they have such a volatile mindset. Not everybody, but particularly those that we see, right? And this whole idea of, you know, y'all remember Pink Floyd's. Teachers leave those children alone, right? We don't need no education. That type of stuff, you know. That was a whole nother generation. And it had its
own.
Yeah,
I like Pink Floyd.
You like Pink Floyd? What?
Especially the one saxophone, Who Could It Be Now?
All right. I got a young man on. Maybe he can help us with this. Maybe he can. Thank you all. Josh, is that you, Josh? It looked like Josh.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Hey, Josh.
All right.
Hello, everybody.
Good. Josh, we're talking about how respect for authority results in success. Do you agree with that statement? That respect for
authority. On what statement was it?
Respect for authority results in success. What's your position on that statement? I'm curious.
Of course you have to have respect for your elders, respect for other people. We have to have respect for the young and the old. There's a level of respect that the young have to respect the old more than vice versa. But there is a kind of respect that the old need to listen a little bit to the the up-and-coming.
Okay, that's interesting. Now, talk to me a little bit more. How does that work? You saying the old folk need to stop and listen to young folk, and thereby they show them respect.
It goes both ways.
Now, 8112 will tell you that the old saying was children should be seen and not heard. Is that right, 12? Is that what they used to say?
All the time. You have to say it too many times, though, because you knew better if you didn't do it the first time.
That's what I'm talking about. So, Josh, explain that to me now, that an adult has to stop and tip around a young person just so they can get along with them? Is that what you're saying, Josh? Well, I'm not beating you up. You just having dialogue.
If you don't do the vice versa, you're not going to get along with that person, are you?
Well,
tickle his feet in the morning? Are you going to rise and shine, both of them get along every day? Are you gonna are you gonna actually have a conversation and not get violent with this girl?
Let me jump in and ask you a question. Don't lose your thought. But what you mean by get along? Wait, how do you get along with a child? Child, get over there and sit down and be quiet and do like you told. What do you mean get along with? They do like they told. If they wanna eat.
Hey. You gotta respect the young as well as the old. That's all I'm saying. You gotta the young are still trying to go along and understand what the old are telling you, they have to find their way.
Interesting.
Have to find their way. It's them that have to find their way. There's no in and but or any else.
Josh, don't go nowhere. I got some other grown folk on here. I'm just curious what they think about what you're saying. What do you think about that, 8112? What are you saying, that the old folks got to show some respect for the young folks too now? Is that right?
Yeah, it is true. I mean, if you want that respect, you have to give some to get it. Because if you fly by on them, they're going to treat you just like you're their equal.
Interesting. Josh, I'm gonna come back to you, man. I got some. You done threw a firebomb off of him, man. It's smoking and everything. But hold on, Josh. I'm coming back to you. Say, look, what do you think about that, man? What do you think about this idea that the elders, the old, have to show some respect to the young before we can get along with each other?
Well, that's backwards. Young's supposed to show respect to elders.
Okay.
That's a dysfunction.
Hold on, 12. I'm gonna come to you, 12. Let him finish. Let's hear him out.
Yeah, no place in the annals of history as it deal with human beings and society does that go that way. You know, I have a Nigerian friend, and his business, we'd be there sitting talking. Young people walk in, they walk up to him. The young boys would shake hands and bow. The girls would curse. They even do me like that, so I'm close to him. Mm-hmm. So he don't bow to them. His wife don't curse you to the girls. It's all the other way around. So that's just the difference in society. Now, I'm going to tell you now, if that wants to go on in a certain segment of society in America, go ahead and do it. But it should not be. That's why come certain things should not be taught in school settings, because what you're really doing is trying to indoctrinate other young people into your way of living or tradition.
Okay. Interesting. All right, let me get to Pastor Wallace. What about it, Pastor Wallace? This idea that the old folk got to show some respect to the baby. That's what Josh said. Josh, don't go nowhere. You got the room smoking. I'm going to clear it out in just a minute. I'm going to come back at you, Josh. You got a good thing going. What about that, Pastor Wallace? The old folk got to turn around.
The old folks need to turn around and do what? Respect? Are you talking about respect?
Show respect to the baby.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I like that when I said something about The old should respect the young, and they should respect the old, but much more respect the elders much more, though. So that made a lot. That made a lot of sense because it's a whole lot of joy in respect. You see, it's like the kids going around asking if the mother tell the kid to do something, they should respect the kid. But then you also have to respect the child.
You should not have to respect because God beat you so many years.
Yeah.
What?
Now,
we can't hear.
Yeah,
if she went in, we
want to
hear.
Come on in a little bit and say, just listen to you. You wanted to make sure that you say what you said again.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello.
How are you doing today? I'm good. Thank
now,
you.
And I've been in church in a minute, but
okay.
I've been with the Lord. My grandfather was a Baptist preacher, and my last name is Freely.
Yeah,
okay.
So, when it comes down to an elder,
mm-hmm.
Our elders should not have to apologize to no one that is just a spring person because they came in this world. And at the end of the day, the elder was placed here for a reason because the elder had went through trials and tribulations for a reason. God placed that person here on this earth for several years to be that person, that vessel to tell someone. So whoever want to apologize to a child, then that person is crazy. Because at the end of the day, God placed me here for 35 years, and I don't know why he's doing it, because I tried to attempt suicide three times, and I don't know what is special about me. But let me tell you something. When I talk to people that's younger than me, if they disrespect me, I'm going to disrespect them at the end of the day. Because what I have, the knowledge of what I've been through, I can help someone.
Yeah.
A person that has seen 40, 50, 60, 70, a child should bow down and say, how did you get there? Because I want to be like you.
Well, you're saying something powerful. I actually agree with you. But I want to offer something for your consideration. And the young man Josh was online with us, he kind of led us down this path. Consider this. Just listen to him for a second. When you talk about the word respect, really what it's talking about is accepting people for who and what they are, where they are. See, when you got a young person, accept the fact that they may have some shortcomings and some misunderstandings that may cause them to respond or act in a certain way. Therefore, you have to be an example for them, right? Well, watch this. My son was a scout, and he was about, 11 years old. He was dressed in his uniform, his scout uniform, and he went to school. So when we get out the car, he got out the car on one side and I got on the other. A lady was getting out of the car on his side. He asked me a question, and I responded to him, yes, sir. She jumped and looked. Why are you calling that little boy sir like that? And you know what I said to her? I said to her, yes, he's 11, he's a boy, he's growing and he's developing, but you look at him. I said, how he look? He looked good. He got all this stuff on and everything. I said, this is a lesson. He's learning how to show respect to me. And I can respond to him by recognizing the good that he's doing and accepting him where he are. If one day he's going to respect himself like a sir, if I show him how to receive and to give that respect. He always called me sir. You see what I'm saying, Josh?
Correct.
Josh, does that make sense? Josh, you that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Does that make sense to you? So respect.
Yes, it does.
Now, here's what we don't want to do. We don't want to put the cart. I'm coming right to you. We don't want to put the cart before the horse and have young people thinking that they can be out of order by telling the elders where to get off and get on. Now, that's just simply out of order. But you can show respect. Go ahead.
It is.
Go ahead, ma'am. Go ahead, ma'am.
No. Speaking
well,
one second,
of
hey,
me.
Yes, we're listening to you.
Okay. Now, I'm 35, Pastor.
Okay.
Yes, now. I'm not saying that I'm sanctified, because I have my own problems. I have my own trials and tribulations.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
But I had to learn. And if young man, if you're on the phone, I just want to talk to you a little bit.
See, this is, I didn't even come outside for this. I came outside to see my friend. I was handling in some other things in my life. But young man, when God placed someone around you, especially an elder, and it don't even got to be an elderly, it might be someone that is positive and potential in your life. Sometimes you got to say thank you, Jesus, for that person. Because guess what? Being disrespectful, being rude, let me tell you something. I had my share of that in the world. Trust me. I've been to jail twice for domestic violence. I've been to the nut house because I lost myself. And I thank God for the children that I have. Some people say, well, you got kids. Why don't you come party with me? No, I look at my babies and say no, because God placed them there. Sometimes I argue with God, and I say, God, why did you bless me with children that have different fathers? Well, guess what? I'm not worried about it. It's God. I placed them on a mantle, and guess what? My mother is gone. But guess what? I am just fine with Jesus, and guess what? My little children, no, baby, if bad things are going bad, you pray and you ask God to save you. And guess what? When I look at it like this, if a stranger come up and tell me something that is of God, take heed of it. Because God is trying to get that message to you. Because God works in different forms. And see, I'm going to take you down because, see, my mother and my grandfather, God bless them, with a gift, and I do not have it, and I'm running from it. See, when Jesus met the woman at the wheel, he asked her, "Why your husband?"
What?
She said, "I'm not married, Jesus." And he said, "I'm coming to your house." See, when we go speed this on up, like I tell my kids, we go speed this on up. He said, "I'm coming to your house tonight." Well, I can just imagine it in modern times. She went and she cooked Jesus some tuna greens. She cooked him a nice ham. She cooked him some macaroni. I mean, she cooked him some candy ales. I mean, she threw down. She cleaned the house. She told everybody, Jesus come to my house tonight. But she messed up at. She cooked a wonderful meal. She cooked a wonderful meal, she had a knock on the door. When she had a knock on the door, a child came to her. She said, "Go away. Jesus is coming." She turned her back on the child. Then the lady knocked on the door. The old lady, she said, "Go away, Jesus is coming." Then a man came that was homeless. She said, "Go away, Jesus is coming." See, she had everything in there that could help anybody because she was waiting on Jesus. So what she did, she saw Jesus the next day. She said, "Jesus." Now I can just imagine what she did because as being a woman I am, she said, "Jesus, why did you not come to my house? Because I did all this, so you know." And then we're going to speed up modern day. "Jesus, I spent food stamps. Jesus, I demand a meal for you. Cleaned up my house for you, Jesus. Why did you not come?"
Okay.
Guess what, Jesus turned around.
I came as a, what did he tell? What did he tell?
Jesus
he tell?
Told her, "I was down all the time." So when Jesus told her, see, do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember? See, the reason why I remember that story is my parents told me that I had one parent. When Jesus comes to you and try to tell you something, it doesn't matter what shape, form, or fashion.
Okay.
If it come into an elderly part, especially an elderly, and God have let that person live on this earth, respect elderly man. Hey, you don't know what message that God have to give you. You don't know. Baby, never be disrespectful. Never to be rude. Take heed because God is trying to tell you something. You never.
Well,
let me get to the children because my children are showing out and I need to walk out.
Hey, listen. You're
good. Okay, now. Go ahead.
Let me go to St. Louis right quickly. Pastor, hold your thought. Let me go to St. Louis. He was trying to say something. Go ahead, St. Louis. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't forget what I was going to say now. But see what goes on in America is, you know, sometimes people have to bite their tongue. But a title is earned at an appropriate time after certain things have been accomplished. Now, some people can call it a five-year-old boy, sir, if they want to. But in some societies, a title that's equivalent to that is something that that child has to go through a process in order to earn that title.
Interesting. Now, so, okay, so you're, that's an interesting thing. And I think that's what the woman's position was to me in terms of referring to my son as a sir. Well, he is a sir in development. And that's what I was speaking to. That's what I was recognizing. And she didn't know him, but I knew him. And I knew that he was obedient. I knew that he was orderly. And I knew that he was respectful to everybody else he interacted with. She never got a chance to experience that. So, but I think what you're saying, he would never take the position that he'd tell me, Daddy, get yourself over there and be quiet, man. He would never do that because he'd know that, you know, the thunder would come down. He already knew that. But I'm just saying, it's the point. Go ahead. Right,
if you got your cheering pan outside and you tell your child that if they go someplace to tell you, your child, your kid, 3, 4, 5, 6 year old, they do that.
Yes, sir.
My grandson is 24 years old. He just called me coming back from New Orleans and said, Papa, I'm back, but I'm going over.
I'm good, my guy.
Hold on 1 second.
He said, Papa, he called me. He said, Papa, I'm back, but I'm going over to such and such, and I'll be get back to the house about 9:30. So and he was taught that young, that's what he's supposed to do. And now that he's a grown man, he still does it because of respect.
I agree with you. I mean, that's in order. That's just in order. That's an orderly thing. Pastor Wallace is going to say something. Let me. Pastor, what were you going to say? You were going to weigh in on that?
No, I had a little kid come up that was 8 years old, and he asked me, was I a pastor? And I told him, yeah. He asked me, what'd you say about prayer?
Did you pray for me?
Would I pray for you? You see, this is a young kid that's 8 years of age.
Okay.
He came up. And his own said that. Is that what you said? Did you want to pray? You want to pray right now? Pray. Let me pray something. Go ahead, because you're going to pray. Hurry up, because he's going to hear you
pray. My God is good. My God is great. Thank you for the food. That's it.
Amen. You know, you're welcome to pray, man.
Right.
And you have to start from
right
that. So thank you, young man.
Right here on
the phone. Yeah. Now, I'm saying that I'm not on the streets, man. And your young man came up and he's done that on his own. He didn't ask me to, to pray. He asked me, to let him pray. And I thought that was pretty neat. So yeah, go ahead, Pastor. I just want you to know.
No,
man.
Great point.
It's hope.
Thank you for telecasting.
Hope
telecasting the podcast, the broadcast show. Glad to be able to engage him like that. But Josh, let me come back to you, little brother, because you started this, man. Now I'm gonna push the smoke back on you. So you're saying that the elders should recognize what about young people, Josh? What should the elders
The elders should recognize that when other people do good, recognize that.
Okay.
They're doing good and
praise
them.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
When they're doing good.
Gotcha.
Don't just keep going to the curb.
Yeah. I agree. So you said admire their good qualities, and that's what you mean by respect, by showing admiration for their good qualities and praising them and encouraging. That's what 12 was saying too. But now, Josh, now you know we're in crazy times, right? You know we're in crazy times.
Yeah,
right?
I know that.
Where we saw instances where, unfortunately, senior citizens would just walk up to and sucker punch the knocked out coach. Many incidents in major cities, right? And there used to be a time where when people walked by in front of a church, if they had a bottle of liquor, they would hide it. They would try to hide it. You remember that, 12? Remember that time?
Mm-hmm.
When they, But now they sit there and throw the bottle right up against the door, sitting in front of the door. Crazy times, Jack. Crazy times.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're talking about. What did you say, St. Louis?
I just thinking out loud. I should have been on mute. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. What we're talking about is the basic early lessons of the voice of authority. Ideally, I know in many cases it's not real, but ideally from home, showing respect for organizations, institutions that were established. And as 12 was saying, they were established and they've been around long enough, or that young lady was saying that, and they've been around long enough for you to show them the courtesy and respect for their wisdom and for their time here. So, and that's really what we're talking about. On the flip side, Josh, on the flip side, though, Josh, it is helpful to and that's what I was doing when I used my son as an example. I was recognizing the fact that he was demonstrating what he had been taught. He didn't know that but for me, right? And in the public, I can recognize that. And I knew that was something that was useful for him. So, Josh, let me ask this. Mm-hmm. Now, here we are in 2021. If a person takes the notion that they're going to pick and choose when they respect authority in various positions, particularly in government, do you think that's going to end well for them?
I don't think that ending well. And I don't see that ending well because there is so much going on out there right now. I'm saying the government and just everything. Right now, we're in a time where we need some praying people right now.
We
need to pray people.
Pray right. Well, to your point, though, Josh, there used to be, even for people who didn't identify themselves as being religious or spiritual, there used to be some basic moral standards that everybody accepted. And it seems as though that line is being erased now to where many people feel like whatever I feel like right now, you know, whatever comes to my mind, I can say it. And you got accepted. And bet not nobody say nothing to me about it. Or we're going to fight. Not a good position.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get along with that, you know? And I believe that a lot of good things, Josh, that we don't know about in the heads of a lot of our young people, especially across urban America. But because, fortunately, there's been a breakdown in communication from one generation to the next, we haven't talked to them. We haven't communicated. We haven't given them. In fact, I'm saying we. I'm talking about a certain generation, and their elders have failed to provide a wholesome and a healthy environment for them to share, for them to thrive. We assume that that's the public schools, not so much. We assume that that's post-secondary institutions, colleges, universities, not so much. We're not seeing it. We assume that the church provides that. And some of the other social organizations, if you see it, let me know.
It really has to go when they are first born. That's when we are supposed to teach.
Wow. You saying don't wait till doctor get grown and musty and then try to teach him? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Don't get this. No.
Hey, 12.
Yes. I'm listening.
Smell my own funk. I can smell my own funk now. Now you want to try to tell me something? No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, we all know that's that rebellion age, whether people want to admit it or not.
My. I said that laughingly, but the reality is that that's a point that we're going to have to go back to. Now, some people say, well, no, we ain't going to do it. No, because if you don't, you're going to lose some things. Now, you can lock everybody if you want to, but you'll run out of jail. In fact, a lot of states are letting inmates out because of a prison shortage. You understand? And even funding for prison is running out. So they're starting to let people out before their sentence is up. Now, you know, some people may say they shouldn't have been there in the first place. That's another conversation, right? But in reality, you know, you can't lock everybody up and legislate these things. There needs to be a voice of reason and a voice of authority. And I'm going to tell you, some of the most hurting people want you, believe it or not, they want you to come with them in a loving way now, Pastor Wall, with compassion, with care. They want you to come. They want you to save them from themselves. Do you think that's true, Toya? Do you think that's true that they want? I mean, you know.
Yeah, I can speak on that because I experienced it firsthandedly. There was a teenage female and a young woman. Her mother treated her as if she was her dear best friend. And let her do whatever she wanted to. And she was pretty young, and the way I feel about it, no, that ain't cool.
Okay.
So on the flip side of that coin was she disrespects her mother very much. But you built that up. You did this.
Yeah.
A little too late for you to correct it, because now the girl is a woman now.
Go ahead, Sandra.
You got all kind of stories out there. That type of arrangement of children doing drugs with their parents, smoking dope with their mother, even sharing the boyfriends. So, if people want to do that, let them go ahead and do it, because they live in a society where they have liberty to do those things. But the thing that I say is those that don't want to be part of that, don't want their children to be around that, that's their prerogative, and don't be calling them names and things. That's what they don't want to do.
I hear people say, mind your business, and, you know, you can't tell folks what to do. But part of what I believe my responsibility and others that care is to be an example, you know, lead by example, you know. And there are times where people ask me for things. I don't criticize them, but I let them know that I don't mind giving, but you're going to get a good word, too. And sometimes I pray for them. You know, when we did our little thing with the homeless the other day. You understand what I'm saying? But they were receptive to that, so they knew our intentions were right. You know what I'm saying? They knew we were coming there to do the right thing. And so they were open to that. I wasn't there to try. You know, you can't make folks do nothing right. You're right, Samuel. You can't make folks do nothing right. Some people...
You can't make people do what's right, but you can share some wisdom.
That's right.
With people.
That's it. Now, what they do with it is on them, right, Josh? That's on them.
Yes.
But I believe that our duty is to be that light. The word said, how can the people hear without a preacher? What is a preacher? Someone who proclaims the good news, so good information, right? And how can the preacher preach except he be sent? You understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying. Let's say you were not a preacher. I believe everybody got a preach word in them, though. But let's say you don't identify yourself as a preacher. Whenever you're giving good, wholesome instruction, advice, that is useful and beneficial, that results in someone's success, you done done a good thing. You done done a good thing. Ain't nothing wrong with that. 12, if you see me walking backwards, I'm about to fall in the hole, please scream, holler, hey, stop.
Right.
Look here. Do something. Say something.
Yeah.
How you gonna let me walk in the hole? How you gonna let me walk in the hole? Yeah, ain't gonna say none of them. That's none of my business.
Right.
Hey, that's on him. He should have turned around.
But he knows better than to walk. They're just like that, sir. They close, they turn their head and they close their eyes.
But they're not supposed to.
No, you're right, Josh. We're not supposed to, but there's a lot of people that do.
They do.
I know you
day.
Know that as well as I do, but
yeah,
it's kind of hard, like
every...
Zachary was saying, that these days for the senior, because I figure like this. The government, the popos, well, the government, maybe it wasn't just the popos, strip a lot of old-fashioned parents from their children, not beating anybody. Nobody, especially a child, deserves to be beat. But spare the rod and spoil the child, yes, you may have some problems because discipline, it is a necessary thing. And I don't care who you come from, where you come from, and who you are. Yes, discipline is a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes
mm-hmm.
only so far. I mean,
right.
just
right.
people have a tendency now. If it ain't about them, they could care less if it's about you. They only think of self, and what surrounds them, how they upbrought someone else. But them children you brought up also have to be around other people in this world, because we're not in this world alone. There's a lot
that,
of us in this world.
You know, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I made the example of a playground. You understand what I'm saying? You know, a playground is there for all children to have fun, to enjoy themselves, to recreate. But when you get children that are volatile, that are violent, out of order, and disruptive, it's hard for everybody on the playground, don't it?
Yeah, that's true.
Which is why you need some kind of authority there.
Yeah.
Somebody to direct behaviors. Because you expect children to, you know, their little imagination gets out, hit them, they just act on it. They don't think about it, they just act. So you need some adults.
You teach them not to do that. But on the other side of that, you have people of authority that knows better.
Yeah.
That does some of the horriblest things in the world.
My goodness.
They know better, but they don't do it. That's the problem. They don't do it.
Guess who's watching them when they display inappropriate and irresponsible behavior? Guess who's watching them? Guess
the
who's learning?
Don't come to light, whether it's done in the dark or not. The people are going to see it.
Watch out now. And the babies are watching. So the babies think that's okay. Look, the so-called the so-called leader, the so-called representative of order is doing it. Why can't I do it? You understand what I'm saying? And we have a breakdown in trust. We have a breakdown in responsibility. We have a breakdown in functionality in our society. That's what it causes. But whenever we can learn to respect authority, that starts at home. That starts at home. Fathers, that's why you need to be there. Mothers, that's why you need to be there. And you need to be working with them. Those are the two voices that Elohim, God, the Creator, placed in the life of a child. Let me keep this Facebook thing. We've got 10 minutes. Ms. Patterson says there has been a substantial breakdown in the home, amen, Ms. P. It is not the school or church's responsibility, alone, to teach respect for authority and our elders. She's preaching that. God prescribes an order for the family, dynamic that we have gotten away from, and now society is, let's see what this last statement, society is reaping the consequences. You know what? Ms. P, couldn't have said it better. And
yeah, she's absolutely right.
Yeah, she's right on it. She's dead on it. And the problem is those of us, I'm talking about us preachers now, who should be sharing what she's saying, encouraging, we're afraid of what people would think and how they would respond.
We
should speak in season and out and be also ready, because what the sister is saying is absolutely correct. It's going to get better, though. It's going to better. It's going to get better, or some of us going to get away from here. I mean, and I'm hoping they get better before we get away from them. Amen? I don't want to be one to get kicked out. Thank you very much, Ms. P. There. Appreciate you joining with us. So, Pastor, hold your thought. I'm going to let you get to it. But I'm going to go ahead and do a round robin here and see if we can draw a conclusion to how respect for authority. Not folks who claim they are authority, but people that are reliable authority results in success because you model that for them. Josh, go ahead, big brother. Give me another thought on that before we leave. Your final thought on
that. I think it is really, if we can make it through the school system and the school system is, I think, the worst. So if we can do something about the school system, and as I said earlier, get them when they're little, before they're even 1 year old. Do something then.
Well,
I think then we might have a chance in this life.
Wow. Okay. Get them when they're young, huh? How that's going to work? You come in somebody else trying to teach their babies in front of them, right? Will that dog hunt, Josh? I hear what you're saying. We're in desperate times, so it requires desperate measures. But okay. Thanks, man. Thanks for joining us here tonight. We appreciate you. What about it, 8112? You've been quiet, but I see you've been watching us. I noticed you squint your eye and you raise your eyebrow and everything. Final thoughts as well?
Yes, I want to thank you guys once again from hearing my voice of opinion, and also I'm going to try to stay on to you guys close tonight. I know I abruptly hung up last Tuesday.
I figured you had something to do. We understand.
Okay,
you know how much you love me. I ain't gonna tell you how much I love you.
All right,
I ain't gonna tell everybody else.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you so much. Yeah, even though you squeal on Pastor Waller, I love you like peanut butter. I said I wasn't gonna say it.
I love
you. No, thank you.
Okay, you guys. Okay.
All right. St. Louis, give us a final thought there before Pastor Waller closes out.
Well, there's a lot to learn from other societies and how they go about traditionally, long-standing tradition, how men are made. You remember the movie Horse that came on a long time ago about that Indian tribe and how the man was hanging with hooks in the meat of his breast until it broke. That was a passage that he had to go through. In some countries in Africa, like Burkina Faso, young men have to go through a passage, and they would go off with the men who they trust and go through a series of ordeals. That's very dangerous. Because some of them don't come back alive.
Interesting.
But it's long tradition that's been going on in that society and probably others too since time immemorial. So statuses are just not given to people. They have to earn them. They have to go through trials and tribulations to show that they can act out in a certain way and be able to think accordingly when faced with obstacles. So with
that's the point.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate you joining us. Okay. All right. Great conversation. Well, Pastor Waller, we yield the floor to you, sir. We give you the final word here to take us home. We don't need a spaceship to take us home because Pastor Waller got the microphone. Master Rapper said everything is going to be all right. All right, Pastor, you got the floor. But, Pastor, you there? I know he's out. He probably muted his phone because he's out.
Yes, sir. I'm here, Pastor Doctor. I was just saying it's a beautiful thing to pray to a God who hears and answers prayer, man. And I think that the Word of God does talk about praise. Mm-hmm. Pray without ceasing. Talking to God, something that you have to put in motion. And
yes, sir.
I just want to encourage anybody, if you don't walk by faith, then you will walk by sight. But the Word of God does say we walk by faith and not by sight. So if I can just pray, I do hear and answer the prayer, and I'll wait for the result. You know, I'll say one more thing. You know, Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Man, when the prayers went up, just like them folks said, when praises go up, blessings will come down. I got my prayer up. And my blessing did come down, so I got to continue to pray and believe God that there's always more to come. So just be encouraged, no matter the way things look right now. I yield back to you on that note, Pastor Doctor.
Great talk. That's
the
good talk.
The young kid that's 8 years old, man, prayed. And I thought that was very unique for him to walk up and say that. So it's something about prayer that changes
things. It is. Amen. Thank you. Well, we're going to leave with the wisdom. We're going to color that man love. We're going to color that man father. We'll be back next Tuesday for another episode of Talk Straight. And we have a special Father's Day episode coming up. Y'all tune in for us back.
No, she gets 7 kids to put that very far. She said,